Again, it's a funny scene, but it's very serious. Again, another way to put it, as C.S. Lewis puts it, is that the real problem with the souls of the damned is not that they are beyond salvation, but that there is nothing left in them to save. You see, hell was not made for human beings. Hell was a place made to house the fallen angels that followed Lucifer in the battle against heaven. Human beings are not meant for hell. Then how can human beings be in hell? The answer Lewis gives is that they're not human beings anymore. They are just the remains of a human being. But the real humanity that God wants to save is gone. They have whittled away their humanity, and we can do that. It happens, and it happens quickly if you don't watch out. Now, at the core of Lewis's apology for hell, and we almost have to call it that, because in this day and age, most people reject the idea of hell. But Lewis asserts that hell, we need hell, and that hell is always something we choose. Again, Lewis is not a Calvinist. Hell is something we choose. In fact, Lewis says, no one who truly desires and seeks heaven will be left out. If we truly desire heaven, we will attain it. But if we reject it and we reject grace, where else can we go? Well, we'll develop that later in this lecture. You see, the unredeemed sinners in Lewis's works, just like those in Dante's Inferno, are utterly narcissistic. Remember Narcissus? Self-love. All they love is themselves and their sins. You see, these damned souls, they want their rights, not the mercy of God. All they want is their rights, especially Americans sometimes, right? Not the mercy of God. What has happened is that they worship a virtue that they have made into an idol, not the God who is the source of that virtue. They're worshiping something that they've made into God, but it's not God. Let me give you a very concrete example from The Great Divorce. One of the saddest case studies in that book is a mother who has taken the bus to heaven to see her son. And as soon as she gets there, she says, I want to see my son right now. And the saints tell her, no, you're here to seek God. Once you love God and seek him for himself, then you can see your son. But you don't come here to see your son. You come here to see God. That's what heaven is all about, the presence of God. Well, she is very indignant. She insists that God is love, and that any God that would not let her see her son must be a false one. After all, what can be more holy than mother love? This is tough. Look what happens here. Let me put it in other words. This woman's son, or more exactly, her smothering, manipulative love for her son is her God. It's her love for her son that's her God, not God. She believes that that love is God rather than God is love. If you ever get a chance to read Inferno Book 5, or rather Canto 5, Paolo and Francesca, they have made love into a God rather than worshiping the God who is love. You know what this woman says, basically? If God gets in the way of her mother love, then God has got to go. If God won't step aside, then she is ready to drag her son down to hell with her where she can really care for him. Now, this sounds like an exaggeration, but you probably all know people in your life that are like that. They get so manipulative and so grasping, they would rather drag that person to hell with them than relinquish them to God's greater love. What are we talking about here? We're back to lecture two. One of Lewis's greatest contributions as an ethicist was his insight. We saw this in lecture two, that it is more often the nobler emotions, mother love, religion, patriotism, that keep us from God, because they can more effectively masquerade as the real thing. Again, nobody's going to believe, drunkenness is all there is. But for that woman, mother love is a divine thing in some ways, but it's not God. And it masquerades. Or to put it in Lewis's words, brass is mistaken for gold more easily than clay is. The more noble things are better at mimicking God's true love, agape or caritas. Think about it. Who is Satan? Satan is not some murderer and fornicator and all this sort of stuff. Satan is a fallen angel. The highest up becomes the lowest down. That's what we're really getting at here. That Satan thought himself God and was cast down.